Why are you looking at boots? I know you're looking at for an album, but like you literally just got like you're on Boot Patrol.
I'm not boot guy. There you go. September 6th.
There Damn it, boy.
There you go. That's like, I'm pretty sure Bimini Road from Moon Boots. They're a band that you like.
Okay.
Because it's EDM. Because you know how you're like, I want different EDM because it's all bullshit.
I don't sound like that.
Yeah, you do. You fucking complain about EDM. I don't want to listen to this anymore.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
Sean.
And this is episode 109.
BF 109.
I am excited pleased to be here. This is great.
This is a podcast.
This is a
that
safe
some people
space.
Like to. It's what? Not a safe space. Really. This is not a safe space. Are you
it's
kidding
a podcast
me?
That people like to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. That sounds great. We've got three albums, four-ish. We have Taylor Swift's Lover. We have a recommendation to go aside that, to accompany that, if you will. We'll get to that in a moment. We have Jinja by Brockhampton. And we have the new 93 Punks project, Travis Barker, Vic Mensa, all that stuff should be interesting. Plus some news, plus some singles, which we'll have right now. There's People by the 1975. Now, there are a couple reasons why we are doing two singles and breaking the Audio Face rule. One, the first single to come out from the 1975's next album, Notes in a Conditional Form, was kind of more of an intro, and it was more of a...
It's a poem that...
It's an instrumentation along with a speech, not really like a spoken song. Word thing. Yes, this is now a song, and after this we will stop. Also, we gave them Album of the Year last year, so we kind of can do this. It's fine. But it's interesting because I don't think they're going to go entirely in this direction.
No,
with
God,
this
no, they're not.
But this could be like, you know, an interesting thing. But
People, it's like a punk rock song.
Yeah.
Straight Maddie just yelling into the mic. It's different, which is what I like so much about them, because you never know what the hell you're getting with whenever you get new music from them. But it's a straight, super heavy punk rock anthem, which is something they've never done before. And yeah, I like it. It's fun. They opened Reading and Leeds with it, and it made the crowd go fucking crazy. They also had like a little interlude in the middle of their concert of another like teasing part of Notes on a Conditional Form, and it's complete. It's not like that at all. So
fair, it makes sense.
Exactly. So that's why I'm waiting for the whole album to be released, but that won't be released until February
2020. So
thanks.
Music for Cars era was supposed to be 2018 through 2019, but you know they're pushing a little bit. Presumably they need more time to get the finishing touches on there, which
yeah,
I think
so
is totally
I guess
fine.
Music for Cars is going through 2020. I'm down.
That's fine. If they add another tour to it, that's even better.
I mean, yeah, come back to Colorado.
So What is the name of a Vince Staples
Vincent
single.
Staples.
And he's also the namesake of the Vince Staples Wilk Award, and also has the Vince Staples Show.
Yes.
Which is, I guess, going to be like a new little series type thing. And so the Vince Staples Show video that's like on YouTube and the song, the single, So What don't exactly match each other. Like you hear the single a little bit in the video, but the video is like about a 3-4 minute sort of story within its own right. So it's definitely worth checking out both things. This is for my fans who were suicidal. I love you so much. Why kill yourself when you can go and kill a rival? Why hate yourself when you can hate the opposition? Why? I do it by myself because everybody's stupid. So-called street niggas going all bad. Going out sad. I'm praying at the altar that he altered my path. I'm at the supercharger with the Glock in my lap. You know somebody finna get it. I'm off of Poppy still. Vince Staples again has this whole like, this is a note to all my fans, there's a suicidal like thing inside of it, which is right. interesting. But also really fun, like in that Vince Staples sort of true to self form, mm-hmm. really sort of fun and true to himself, let's say. It's very good. And speaking of Daily Battles.
Daily Battles. The single from Thom Yorke and a Mr. Flea. It's for a upcoming film. From Motherless Brooklyn, which I don't know.
Motherless Brooklyn is the name of the film.
Yes. So they did a piece together. It's an acoustic piano with light bass.
Yeah.
Thom Yorke sounds like he did this in like four. This is like his 85th take because his voice is all like raspy as shit in this take, which sounds kind of off, but it's a decent song. It just more symbolizes the fact that Thom Yorke and Flea are still friends and they need to start making albums for peace again and hop on it now. Go.
Yeah, it's very good. I am ready to go into the news portion, but next week on a episode that should be interesting for some reason. We'll be reviewing Lower Dens. We talked about the little splash they made mm-hmm. when they released the single that got banned on Free Speech Airwaves. IDK, a really weird sort of like Totally Moi hipster project.
Super hipster.
And Moon Boots, which just got thrown on here, a Sean edition. We'll see if we like this. It'll be fun. Also, September, we're putting together all the albums should be coming out, just a little hint of that. There's both the Gallaghers, apparently.
Oh, God. Okay. There's Jesus.
Charlie XCX, mm-hmm. Metronomy, which I didn't know they were still making music, but I'm super down. M83,
mm-hmm.
and more. Mm-hmm. And more.
Lumineers, Dive. There's lots of shit that's gonna be happening.
Actually, I think Dive is October.
Actually, no, that's right. They push it to October.
Yeah. It's like early
my favorite bands pushing music back, like, let's push it month. Let's push it 2 months.
Let's perfect. I would rather not have them put out a rush product. I'd rather not, you know, build up to the moment and then, like, 3 minutes don't later, you're just, like, disappointed. Anyways.
This is weird.
This is really weird. But the long and short of it, because capitalism is an unsustainable, never-ending system of like big fish eats bigger fish eats bigger fish eats bigger fish, Death Row Records is now owned by Hasbro Toy Company.
How the fuck did they get Shug Knight murdering ass out of there and make a toy company the head of Death Row Records?
From Shug Knight to Chutes and Ladders. So
I don't even want to talk about this anymore, just on that note. You need to stop.
So, the way this works is that Death Row Records, which was originally founded by Notorious Shug Knight.
Notorious Murderer Shug Knight, asterisk.
Notorious DOC and Dr. Dre had...
Beats by Dre.
At time, noted rapper Tupac, Snoop Dogg, so many different brands. But anyways,
a lot.
They had some issues. There were some predicaments with personnel, finances, let's say. There's some Wikipedia articles and YouTube videos about this we don't need to go into. However, eventually Death Row Records filed for bankruptcy in 2006, having fallen from their like great sort of fame. The fallen state. And they are now owned, or were until recently owned by a company called like Wide Awake Entertainment, I believe.
No idea who that is.
No, Entertainment One is what it's called.
Still have no idea who that is.
Yeah, it's just like a conglomerate. They probably own a K-pop band or something like that.
I was actually about to ask, are they Chinese or Korean and owned a K-pop band?
But for a while, Entertainment One was also the home of such musical prodigies as Joe Budden, The Game, and DJ Khaled. But
the best music.
But the best part of this is now Hasbro owns DJ Khaled's masters.
Oh shit. Can we, okay, can we somehow...
Can we get DJ Khaled Monopoly?
But can we somehow get our way... Actually, what, Monopoly's Parker Brothers, is that still Hasbro?
No. I mean, I just assume they're all the same, but...
Probably. It's, but anyways, is there a way for us to get into be this executive at Hasbro and just cancel DJ Khaled?
That's a long game, but just rip everything from That would be great. I checked. Hasbro actually does have Monopoly.
It does?
They also have G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, Transformers, and really...
Dude, My Little Pony is a fucking cult.
No. My Little Pony they have, but the big one here they're trying to get at with this purchase was Peppa Pig. Like, Death Row Records was just a spoil.
What the fuck is Peppa Pig?
You just need to have, like, a niece under the age of... like 10, and you'll understand, like, yeah, Peppa Pig has him on lock.
Wait, is that one pig that's a 2D pig?
It's like
pig?
Purple and pink.
Yeah, so that's what that is.
Yeah, it's like
animated series. What the fuck does Death Row Records have to do with the pig? What do game banners shooting each other AKs and getting Tupac killed, allegedly, has to do with Peppa Pig?
Capitalism, baby. Because the same company that owns Hasbro also owns Death Row Records. Because of the bankruptcy. Because it's big fish eats bigger fish eats bigger fish eats bigger fish eats bigger fish.
I see.
And now they've got it all.
I see.
So on that note, speaking of capitalism, let's talk about Taylor Swift's album Lover.
Yeah, it's not.
We listen to it so you don't have to. It's essentially the case.
It is literally pop trash is the best way I can actually describe it. It is terrible. I have a new rule for myself, which is
new rules,
everybody, before he went all neoliberal and stupid. If any pop, alternative song, whatever, mainstream song, I should say, starts and it has a drum kick and a snap, I'm just skipping it. I don't care who you are.
His footprints on the sun. Are you okay? And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson.
I don't care who you are.
Cheesy.
If the 1975 do that, I'm flying to fucking Manchester to Maddie's house and knocking on his door and be like, oi, what'd you do?
Oi, why are you fucking up?
Oi, why are you fucking up? I mean, they're not gonna do that.
You're getting real.
But that's how much I hate it. Yes, I don't care who you are.
It's annoying because it's just really hacky and simple.
The Chainsmokers do that a lot.
It's a gimmicky pop. It's a gimmicky 2000s, 2010s pop thing.
Yeah, whatchamacallit. Of Monsters and Men did that on the second song. I remember because they broke my heart on that song. The rest of the album was good. Decent.
Didn't Foster the People do that in a song?
They did that on like 7 songs and it wanted me wanted to just like... fly a B-17 formation over him and just bomb the island a little bit, but...
I need to lay low for a little bit, okay? So let's continue. I really couldn't get through any of this album. I tweeted and it got a little bit of traction at Dan from the Web on Twitter. My Twitter specifically. That Taylor Swift has the audacity to release an hour-long album in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
But it's everything we hate about pop... is in this album. So there's good ideas, yeah. But they're all used wrong. So if like example, the song Lover, which is like an acoustic song. The way the lyrics are written? English. The way the lyrics are written, wow, that's actually really hard for me to say, is it doesn't go along with how it's produced.
Right.
So it doesn't sound right. It sounds a little off. The way she's singing it, it's off with how the instrumentation is. So I'm like, that just doesn't make sense. But a lot of pop does that.
Yeah. It's hard
to explain, but if you listen to a lot of folk singing or acoustic music, which I get in moods and I listen to that, there are different ways to do it, but the pop way is, it's so commercialized that it ends up all being the same, as I like to say. But it's... Yeah,
it's not really good. It's just like you don't have to, so we're not going to get.
No, we're not going to go. I'm like, why am I? I don't want to talk about this anymore. But
yeah,
literally, it's just pop trash. It's not great. So we listen to it so you don't have to. And
before, we don't have to's. I like to pair them with album recommendations. So I'm going to do that in just a moment. But Taylor Swift has taken a little bit of like a hard. I'm not going to say hard left turn because Jesus Christ, until she starts protesting his Palestinian settlements.
Damn, I was going to say that.
Left turn. But she is she's starting to go harder against Trump by basically saying you are like Trump is gaslighting the American public into being like, if you hate the president, you hate America, which is like boilerplate. Sure. Swift's is also trying to give more reasons why she stayed out of politics. She said she was trying to protect her mental health, not read the news very much, go cast people vote, tell people to vote. I just knew what I could handle. I knew what I couldn't. I was literally about to break, which is fine. But imagine being like not Taylor Swift for a little bit. And that's kind of like the point of what people are saying with this like brand of Taylor Swift. And then, there is this fun, you know, audio face, fair balance, none afraid. There was this comment that Taylor Swift made a couple, we talked about, I think, last week, where she said, I didn't want to be a distraction and be related so much to Hillary Clinton that, like, my negative attributes and her negative attributes would, like, echo each other. I didn't want to, like, do more harm than good. So, like, there's...
Which is fine. We talked about that last week or two weeks ago whenever we did.
There's understandable reasoning. There's understandable, like, levels of sexism to what she has to deal with. Like, still, Taylor Swift is not woke at all. What I do want to give is a recommendation to someone who, like, wants to get off the Taylor Swift train quickly. Is Shannon Lay's album August. Shannon Lay is like a folk singer-songwriter. She's done a couple of albums pretty recently, started in 2015. And this also came out this week. Of course, you're not going to hear about it because it's not Taylor Swift. But like, there's some moments in this album where it feels like borderline Radiohead-like, and it's really cool.
Whoa. That's an endorsement.
Yeah, it's like very folksy.
Granted, okay, for those of you listening, I didn't listen to it because Dan did it as a recommendation in a way to counteract so that way I didn't get all depressed listening to Taylor Swift.
Yes. And I was really trying to like look for things throughout the week. I mean, throughout the weekend. Mm. So like it took me a while, so I didn't give you, like I had warning of this. But the song Nowhere. Placing my dreams. And so like the second song on the album and Wild, there are some songs that are just really just acoustic and vocals. And she does a really good mix of both, making them sound really folky to their roots.
I'm down.
But then there's some where there's like a little bit of drum in the back, and kind of those are my favorite because they're soft and slower, but still have a little bit of energy that I like from a song. You can just tell there's, unlike regular folk where it does feel like it falls into a normal thing, it's interesting, it gets to the point. Most of the songs are 2 or 3 minutes long. It's just very modern. It's 12 songs long, it's 30 minutes, so you can just like really dip into it, dip out of it. And it's just like the thoughtful, like the mismatched production you were talking about with Taylor Swift of how like it doesn't match the, like even though it's pop and it's really easy, just like insert lyrics, insert instruments, it just didn't really work out that well. There's just so much more attention to detail in this. It gets you back to that overall crux of why do people listen to the bad shit so much? This is good shit out there.
And it's and it's awesome. Because people always tell me that music is so bad. I'm like, there is a lot of bad music. There's a lot of good music. You just have to look for it.
Look hard.
And that's the problem, is people either don't have time or don't have the energy to. The people who do, they usually know good music. Like, a bunch of our friends always give us recommendations. And I'm like, wow, I haven't heard this before, but this is really good. Like, I have a playlist with one of my friends called Hipster Trash, and it's just literally as hipstery trash as we can get. And he puts shit in there, and I'm like, whoa, this is really good.
Yeah, it's fun. So, I like just talking, I like hearing from some of my friends.
Depending on how this is, I'll probably add some of that to the playlist.
It's pretty good. Depending on the
album cover, because if you have Baby Banes with a little hat, you probably are extremely hipster. But it's hipsters usually make good music.
Let's take a hard veer away from hipsters and talk about...
The Jigga Man!
It's the Jigga Man! Okay, so there have been a lot of reactions from last week's revelation that he's going balls in to the NFL.
Yes.
In addition to being their music and entertainment coordinator, he's also going to be the... he's also going to... There's rumors that he's going to try to own an NFL team. So that is creating a lot of different controversy. On the one hand, there are people who are saying... You're betraying the NFL boycott that Kaepernick is doing and got the NFL to concede on. Remember, he did win that lawsuit and got an unspecified millions amount of dollars.
And this man likes money.
Naturally. And Jay-Z, who says, okay, he's always sort of had this, it's not enough to fight the systems of power and protest against them, but you have to kind of become them so you have their same level of power and then can you have to fight on a lot of different fronts. I think what Jay-Z's point is, I guess I sort of am cautious of Jay-Z. He might not know exactly what he's doing, reject false icons. I'm not going to put all my faith into a celebrity. But there are a lot of people who have different opinions. So Kaepernick's attorney said that Jay-Z is crossing the intellectual picket line, which is, I like the leftist workers' rights rhetoric in that. It's sort of interesting. Was he on First Take? Oh, Jesus Christ, that guy.
I'm not, yeah.
And meanwhile, Freddie Gibbs is on the other hand saying, fuck Kaepernick.
Whoa. Okay, Freddie Gibbs. Jesus.
Yeah. Let me see. He said, he took to Instagram and said, I'm riding with Jay-Z straight up, man. Fuck Colin Kaepernick. All y'all niggas marched for Colin Kaepernick and he took a settlement and ain't tell y'all what he got or nothing. He settled. And so...
No, I was saying that he's a sellout with the NFL and everything. But, I mean...
I disagree.
But no, I'm saying that's what he's saying.
I disagree with what Freddie Gibbs is saying because you can receive a settlement for damages.
Correct.
Because there is a career that and arguably Colin Kaepernick didn't have. Yeah,
exactly. And usually in a lot of those settlements, you cannot... They're non-disclosed, so you can't talk about them.
Yeah. So. However, you could make the sellout argument for Nike.
Oh, hell, 100%. Absolutely. You could absolutely do it for Nike. But Nike are extreme sellouts. That's been known. As I'm wearing a Nike shirt, I just unfortunately...
I'm wearing Nike jumpers.
They make decent sporting equipment. It's just they're extreme sellouts. But my whole thing to this is, fuck hand ache. It's not football. They don't use your feet until they use their feet 3 times in a game. It's handache, it's stupid, it causes a lot of CTE.
Can we go back to music?
And it's a stupid sport.
We should go back
to
music.
Let's go back to music.
This is a great rant.
Exactly.
We should go back to music. Brockhampton has released Ginger. It is 12 songs long. It is also in the 30, 40 minute range, mm-hmm. if I remember from the top of my head. It is 44 minutes. So it's
good.
It's pretty good. Pretty solid. Thankfully, Brockhampton in the years have matured a lot. Before their albums were you got glimpses of good ideas,
and they were just all over the place. This is the first time I felt like I actually like an entire Brockhampton album. Because before, I would like some of it, and other parts, I'd be like, this is... I mean, it gets experimental, it's different, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I don't understand what the fuck they're trying to do.
But they are refining.
They are refining, and second off, y'all need to stop making music for at least a year. You need to do the Damon Albarn treatment of just... Get away from don't own laptops. Just don't own laptops.
See a Brockhampton album at least by next spring.
Seriously, they release a shit ton of music, and that's also another problem with Brockhampton is they have so much already. I'm like, okay, I don't know where it's gonna go. But this album actually is pretty good. It's what was I gonna say? The beginning of it. No Halo, I actually didn't really like that track, the first track, but Sugar through If You Pray Right, 2 through 6, I really, really liked it, and it got me sucked into the album, actually.
I'ma be there for you, I'ma make you see that.
It had this kind of a lo-fi, really reduced beat throughout the entire album. It wasn't overproduced, because I feel like a lot of Brockhampton, it's literally jumpy.
Yeah.
But this one is not that at all. It's a lot more chill. The lyrics are, they still go hard, but they're not screaming into the microphone. They're not doing this or that like they would randomly at times.
This isn't like Saturation era Brockhampton.
No,
sure.
Not at all. It's a more refined Brockhampton. I very much enjoy it, actually. I think with, you know, a little less harassment, they were starting to understand themselves a bit more, maybe. But it's something that I will actually listen to. I want to listen to it a few more times and get more in depth into what this is for them, because it's definitely a pivot, but to me in the right direction of stripping things back a bit, but still making very good music.
Right.
Because as I've said that a bit too, where I think where a lot of rap, spoken word and stuff can go wrong is it can just literally put too much into one barrel. But if you strip it back and get back to the essentials, that's where it can be pretty good. And I think this is what they did.
Yeah, so. I've always said with Brockhampton that because there's so many people in that
exactly.
group.
Exactly. How many people are in that group? What, 10 maybe?
Like, something
12?
Like that. I think some maybe dropped off since, but like there's just so many people in the group.
There's too many ideas.
I can't keep track that, yeah, all the, and the word's overused, so I need to think of a new word for their ideas, but like they're bouncing around that musical environment, and so that's why they put out so much music. That's why I think there's like four different types of Brockhampton. There's like lo-fi electronic, lo-fi guitar, sort of spoken word singy, and like sort of like thrash excited rappy.
Yeah.
And this album does the best of any Brockhampton album of balancing all four of those.
Yes.
And making sure that all of them aren't too far away from each other where it feels too crowded. But they can flow into each other a little bit better to actually make a cohesive album. They could still do a little bit better. I felt like the like instrumentally, the transition between like If You Pray Right to Dearly Departed was
weird.
Still a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Like thematically it made sense if you look at the lyrics, but I think more than just lyrically it has to have a little bit of instrumentational continuation in order to be cohesive. But I was still like happy with the album through Big Boy, Love Me For Life, Victor Roberts through the end. I still want to see that Years Of Our Lives, Days Of Our Lives album come out, because
right.
I think those songs are like some of the
those
best
really
things
good,
they've ever produced.
Seriously.
And there are moments on here where that happens, but it doesn't even happen for me that much either. But overall, it's a really good album. The arbitrary scale we are using this week is failed presidential bids. And yeah. We only have a few to choose from 20...
Do you want to do 2018 or do you want to...
2020.
You do want to do for 2020?
Yeah, because we have enough albums to do like how many failed bids there were, since there's basically really two album reviews we did. So the ones that have dropped, well, we can say that Joe Walsh is going to fail, so we can just call that already. Bill Weld is going to fail, we can say that's going to call already. And so far, Hickenlooper and Seth Moulton have dropped out.
Gotcha. Okay. I think this is a solid, I think it's a solid breakfast sealer. It's a cereal. Hickenloopers.
Actually, no. I'm going to... So, Mike Gravel also dropped out.
Mike Gravel. Oh, shit. That's a good one, too. I'm still going with Hickenloopers because I think... Just for the namesake and for how bland of a presidential thing and the his thing that he's going to run for Senate now.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, oof, that's his little go away video where he announces that. I'm like, that's incredibly rough. But the rougher, the better. So that's why this is Hickenlooper.
But you know, that's still better than Beto O'Rourke, who is still in the presidential race, is doubling down saying he only wants to be in the presidential race and is polling worse than Hickenlooper was.
Yeah, Beto...
I'm
saving your career for right now.
Thank you, kind sir. May I have another?
It was going to be bad. It's going to be really bad.
So, the Prodigy are officially back in the studio now. In the studio.
I'm in the studio. Yeah, after Keith Flint He passed away earlier this year. This is only, what, maybe a half a year since that? Shit.
Yeah. That happened... Jesus. Let me Google that really fast.
Is that 5 months ago?
Google it! Yeah, it happened March 4th.
So that's 5 months. It's been a while. So five months. But still, like, already they're back in the studio. Those guys are hard then. Shit. Because I know, like, Linkin Park, they're like, nah, I don't...
It's going to take a while, which is understandable.
Exactly.
I wonder what they're going to sound like without literally their front man, without their vocalist.
Unless they pull an AC/DC and they can get someone who sounds exactly the same. That is the most amazing thing still to me. One of the most amazing things in music is one guy dies, it's literally...
Just replace him, because they're like, dude, it sucks that you die, but we all love money.
And they made some of the best shit, too. That's the best part.
Yeah, no.
Agnes goes hard.
Very few bands can do that, but they
did
very well.
Extremely rare. Sorry, that's cool to see that from them, though. I'm excited.
Yeah, and if they decided to just do like an instrumental version what they did, fuck it. It would still be great.
Exactly. We fucks with the Prodigy.
Yes. We have 93 Punks now.
Punks with an X.
It is a project with Vic Mensa, Travis Barker, a couple of others.
Loco with the Mask and Good Charlotte, Tom Morello, which that was pretty fucking cool. I fucked with Tom Morello heavy.
Yeah.
Prices in the Lights. It's
14 songs long. It's also
29 minutes. It's short as fuck.
Yeah. So it's not, it's again, like, you can try this out.
It's definitely different. It's Vic Mensa goes hard.
Hard punk.
Like fucking hard punk. Like I fucks with it. I heard 3 years Sober, I go, whoa, okay, this is a bit different. But
which we reviewed as a single a couple weeks ago.
We did in the music video, which is I like a lot, because it goes with identity crisis and a bunch of other shit. And especially when you're going through, I love the line of 3 years Sober and still hungover.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people who are going through recovery and other shit, it's a process, it's a lot. So
quite.
Dan, welcome to your intervention.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's a camera, everything, too. That's horrible.
Here. Okay, Dan. Welcome to your intervention. We're here today. Just the first thing is you just gotta have acceptance, okay? That's it. Just...
Okay, Tom. We can get this. in the interest of, in case this is real, veering this away very quickly, Cap America goes really hard, and it just shows like Vic Mensa deserves the Woke Award, because it's
Cap
like...
Cap America makes me very uncomfortable, actually. That's a song, I don't want to listen to this song.
Because it sounds like a summer rock song that might even be like a really good rock song about like a... summer camp, but it's about the concentration camps that the Trump administration is running at the southern border. Very like.
I call them internment camps. In old FDR fashion, let's call them internment camps.
Let's I'm not going to split hairs with jailing kids at detention centers, boring. But let's continue. So you have that, and it's really interesting because you look at rap and you look at punk as why are these kind of things coming together, or why are Vic Mensa make this transition. But no, it actually makes a lot of sense to me, because the underlying like messages within punk and hip hop and rap about the, like rebellion against the machine and politics is fucked up and being
what's
different,
cool,
and
being in the streets, being an activist and stuff. They have very similar underlying themes, just they're done in different styles of art.
Yeah. And they even play around with it. I think there's in one of the skits, it's like...
Yeah, they do. I love the commercial break skit's pretty funny between 3 Years Sober and Camp America. I like that.
It's like, I don't know, they let us do the black shit, we let them do the white shit.
Okay. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But this is crossing the two paths, basically.
Yeah, because you have songs that are like partially trap and then partially punk, which like isn't as bad as... that my description is actually
no like, it sounds like it would be terrible, so that we hate, but it's not actually. It's very different and unique, and I didn't think it would work, honestly.
It would be terrible if this were 45 minutes. Like, I'm glad this was 30 minutes because it needs expressed to be short. Its idea and it, like, fully played
for,
it out.
Well, punk, to me, always needs to be short and to the point because it can drag on, to me, if you make it long. But that's how it was made in the 80s and 90s, especially. It's usually short to the point, which is how I like it. That's what she said. And, but anyways, it's, I enjoy it. It's different. It's definitely experimental. It plays with a lot of different themes. It's political. It's in, it looks inward, look into it. It has a theme that goes through the album too. It's very cohesive, but I like it. The, even the little skits in between some tracks are good. Because usually, because of Humans, I got turned off of skits a lot because I think they overplayed it and some people were overdoing skits. But these skits worked because of the way the album was made.
I can see what you mean.
Also, United States of Evil with Tom Morello fucking goes hard in the paint.
Oh, yes, yes,
holy
sir.
Crap.
Yes, sir.
The man behind Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
Plus Rage Against the Machine with Vic Mensa. This is just way too much sauce. It is. That song is, man, okay. If you want to just go deep state, giga woke, random shit, listen to the United States of Evil.
Like, this is the kind of shit that keeps Joe Rogan still identifying as someone on the left, even though he's literally not. It's basically only songs like this where Joe Rogan can, like, completely get down with it.
All right, I don't have to have him bring into it, but sure, let's go with that.
I don't know, I just feel like it's a very, that works for that crowd, which is fine. You know, you reach across the aisle and spread your
ideas.
Ideas. So, arbitrary scale, failed presidential bids. Actually, I'll give this to Mike Ravel.
This is going to be Better or Work's future pulling out because I'm, like, celebrating when that happens. So that's how good this album is I'm waiting for that magical day of just to see Beto O'Rourke just...
Beto.
Like this.
I wasn't made for this.
Realizing that he lost... to the Zodiac Killer himself, Ted Cruz, and to 15 other candidates. A gay man, a woman, and a Jew. So he lost to...
No, a gay man, a woman, a Jew, and a black woman in the most racist political system in the world. And you lost as a straight white dude.
And you lost as a straight white dude. But you need to rethink your life.
Pour the whole bottle of scotch.
Just... we're Scotch made in Scotland.
So, Obama has decided to drop his latest summer playlist. And it's actually not terrible. I barely believe this was made for him, but like you can
I barely believe that he made this.
Yeah, I mostly believe this is made for him. I barely believe that he made it.
But the fact that A Tribe Called Quest is on there, I fucks with that.
No, like they're very.
That's actually a good Tribe Called Quest song. Can I kick it?
Yeah, there are songs on here that you could definitely see Michelle and Barack Obama listening to as they blow up kids.
And weddings. Especially weddings.
Yeah. But you know, you got yourself some Lauryn Hill, you got some Ella Fitzgerald, you got some GB Gray, you got some Anderson .Paak. Unfortunately, you got DJ Khaled, that kind of kills it all.
Oh my god.
You've got Kon El Tura, which goes hard and is in our Summer of the Summer playlist.
Yeah.
That
fucks.
So, okay, you know, here, there. that's accidentally perfectly what I wanted to say.
One kills Kirsten Gillian Brand, which first off, she still exists. She's still running. That's hilarious. She moved XXXTentacion, because we're never going to say it right, from her campaign playlist.
Yeah, so Kirsten Gillian Brand.
The man who deserved his own death.
Kirsten Gillibrand is...
don't fucking cut that either.
I'm not going to cut facts. That. That's staying in.
Factual statement.
I will still die on that hill.
We will both die on this hill.
We just reviewed Vic Mensa. It doesn't matter. Anyways, you don't need to know about anything about what that was. So Kirsten Gillibrand has kind of made her kind of lane in the 2020 political sphere by being the candidate that is like, I'm going to be the most outspokenly feminist candidate, which is fine. Just don't have XXXTentacion anywhere on your campaign playlist at all, because to quote XXXTentacion on feminism, I don't even think feminism is a real thing because Hillary Clinton ran for president and didn't die for it.
Yep. Yep. So, and everything else that he did, which I don't want to talk about again. So
yeah. And lastly,
Kanye West with Star Wars dome-like buildings
have been shut down. So Kanye West is continuously on one and has been constructing these dome-like structures at his estate in Calabasas because he's trying to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor.
I will know everything I want to say. So may get bleeped.
Let me continue, and this is the last story, so maybe I can work with it. But he constructed the domes, but the issue is that the inspectors never came out. There were never any permits for it. He didn't have the right
to... Fuck you on that, man.
Yeah. And he says the structures were intended to be temporary because they're prototypes, but they are not meeting any of the requirements.
They look like used rockets. You know, the fairings were used rockets that are just chilling sometimes out in the desert? That's what they look like.
No, this looks like the part in the desert where they put spent, like, nuclear rods. Like, this doesn't look good or safe.
Spent nuclear rods. Just out in the open. Just here you go. Here's some rods. Make sure they aren't graphite tipped because it may explode your reactor in the 80s. But you know.
No, but you love graphite tip. It's better than lead. I use it for all my mechanical pencils. They have to tear this down. So this like testament to, you know, bridging the gap between the rich and the poor was a complete fucking waste of money.
And
Kanye West is still not fixed his Donda House charity.
Seriously, hasn't. And can he just be on a leash, man? Because someone needs to just hold him back, be like, hey, dog, you need to chill, because there's something wrong with him. I'm telling you. There really is.
Very
like,
clearly. And exactly. Also, just tax the rich.
Obviously. But, no, he's getting Elon Musk treatment. No one tells him no.
Yeah. Like, he...
He needs to chill.
There's a cult of people around him who says, you're great. The people who say you aren't great, they're the brainwashed ones. You're fine. Like, this is how we get fascist. Don't get us fascist.
Okay.
This has been Audio Face. Next week we have some albums coming out. We have 3! Lana Del Rey and Tool. It's going to be pretty exciting. That will be an episode of some kind that will come out at some point next week. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web, and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean, you can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. And
yes.
This entire show can be found at Audio Face Pod, where you should rate us highly wherever you listen to your podcasts and stuff. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
It's going to be like a 45-50 minute episode, which I like. Because it's a very easy sell to say, hey, listen to a not even an hour podcast every week where you get like a lot for a little.